I remember my wife saying when the kids were really little, she said, you need to pay attention to this. Like, babies are temporary. This is going to be over faster than you think. And you need to really sort of enjoy this.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now, here's your host, Art Eddy.
Are you feeling the effects of putting everything in life before your own health and wellness? It's so common to prioritize work, family, or any other stressor over attending to the most important relationship you have, the one with yourself. Hi, I'm Kat, a holistic nutritionist, personal trainer, and co-founder of Alta Coaching. I entered the wellness industry with one mission, to empower individuals to take proactive action towards their health, because traditional healthcare is just not cutting it these days. When you sign up for Alta Coaching, everything you need is in one easy-to-use app. You get a personalized nutrition guide with target macro goals, suggested meal plans, customized food lists, and dozens of resources so you always know what to eat and why. You'll receive a custom fitness program, which includes video instruction and feedback from your trainer. Between scheduled phone calls, check-ins, health questionnaires, and unlimited access to your coaches in the app, you'll have the support you need every step of the way. If you are waiting for the day you have the time and motivation to get started, you'll be waiting for a long time. Instead, take action today by visiting www.altaforlife.com and schedule a free consultation call with me. Mention Art of Fatherhood when you book a call and get your first month free.
What's going on, everybody? Art Eddy here for another edition of the Art of Fatherhood podcast. I'm very lucky and fortunate to have this gentleman on. It's none other than Jay Billis. Thanks for taking the time, Jay. How you doing, sir?
Great, Art. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. Looking forward to chatting with you. Big fan of your work. Before we get into basketball and the great work you do at ESPN, let's talk about fatherhood. I know your kids are a little bit older than mine, but when you found out you were going to be a dad, what was going through your mind, sir?
Really excited, a little bit scared, honestly, but it was all good. I'm lucky. My wife, Wendy, is awesome. So she was able to shepherd me through it and get me to pay attention to the fun and important stuff and not worry about the stuff that I couldn't do anything about.
Nice, man. Talk about some of the values you were looking to instill into them as they were growing up.
I don't know, honestly, that I gave a lot of thought to the values I wanted to instill. We just, my wife and I are pretty traditional. I think we were very lucky. We both grew up in two parent households, and I think both had great, great parents and family lives. So I didn't have a plan going in, but I feel like we had a pretty good sense of who we are. And I felt like who we are would tend to dictate who our kids would be, or at least the guidance that we're able to provide. But one thing we did was the relationship between my wife and me, that was number one. And the kids, I think, felt like they were number one. But we were number one, and I think that was important for us.
Nice. Talk about something that your kids have taught you either about yourself or about life that maybe you didn't know was there until you became a dad.
I think being more, they taught me to be more present, and my wife did that too. That I think the way I was brought up, my dad was running around working all the time, and he wasn't there a lot. He was there. I shouldn't say he wasn't there a lot. He wasn't there all the time, like some parents tend to be now. He didn't go to all my games when I was playing Little League or before I got to high school. He was working and he had things going on. So he couldn't be at all those things. And honestly, my mom didn't go to all my games. My parents a lot of times would drop me off at games. And because maybe my sisters had other things going on, it wasn't, now if you don't go to every game, you're a bad parent or something. But my games were my thing. It wasn't necessarily going to be a family thing all the time. And that was kind of a good thing, I thought. But I think my kids and my wife taught me to be more present, that when you are there, that needs to be the most important thing. And, don't like I remember my wife saying when the kids were really little, she said, you need to pay attention to this. Like, babies are temporary. This is going to be over faster than you think. Yeah. And you need to really sort of enjoy this. And that made a big impact on me.
Nice. And what is a lot of stuff you're saying, I think people can take away, but for new dads or just parents in general, dad hack or piece of advice, what would you offer to them?
Dad hack. Probably that, like, my wife was really good with our kids about, like, they had to entertain themselves a lot. you know, we weren't lording over them all the time. Yeah. And, you know, if they were playing, we weren't always playmates.
Yeah.
So they learned how to entertain themselves. And, you know, we had, my wife would get play dates for them and stuff like that. But just sort of being there is really important, I think. The littlest things are oftentimes the most fun and impactful. It doesn't have to be a big birthday party or an event. To me, the little things were important.
No doubt. Yeah, it's funny. I don't know if your kids have said this to you, but my daughters will be like, do you remember we had like pizza and we were watching a movie downstairs in the basement in our old house in New Jersey? I'm like, those were so many good times. I'm like, okay, cool. I just, like you said, like it's things like that. So thank you very much for talking a little about fatherhood. Now I want to talk to you about the great work you do on ESPN and breaking down hoops and all that. But from playing basketball to coaching to commentating, do you kind of have a love like one over the others? I mean, all are probably great to you, but is there one that kind of brings you more joy?
Oh, playing did. Playing was way better than any of this. I didn't fall in love with basketball based upon commentators or coaches. Yeah, I fell in love with basketball because I like to play, and it was fun and competitive and all the things that you would expect someone to say. But there was never anything as enjoyable as playing. And I respect coaches greatly, love coaches. And we live in a coach culture somehow. And I don't know how that became the way it is, but the player's job is way harder than the coach's job. It's way harder. And I think the best coaches realize that and respect that there's no coach that's ever in the training room after a game getting treatment. And coaches, like, they're competitive, you know, so they're in a competitive environment, but they don't have an opponent. There's nobody trying to stop them from doing their job while they're doing it. There's nobody physically trying to stop them from calling a timeout or physically getting in their way when they're putting the game plan together. Players have an opponent that's trying to physically stop them from doing what they intend to do. And it's difficult, but I enjoyed that. And there's nothing as rewarding or satisfying as playing. Nothing.
I love the fact that that's such a good point. Like, coaches aren't getting, you know, treatment after the game and all that. So true.
Well, so, I mean, I don't mean to interrupt, but it used to really frost me when a coach would either say or imply that he wanted to win more than we did. And we're like, seriously, like, seriously, you really believe that? It's not true. And you know, so like, oh, the players, you know, they lose a game and they just float off. Like, really? It's not true.
Not true. Yeah. So like I said, like, I love the way you break down, the way you care about the game of basketball. And so I'm a UNC fan. Hopefully you're still going to stay on part of this interview. I know you went to Duke and all that, but like, here's the thing. Like, I moved around a lot. We finally moved to North Carolina in 2015, and you see how much college sports are just impacted in North Carolina. And even being like a Jordan fan, that's how he got me into like being a UNC fan. One of my friends here, one of my good friends now, he went to NC State. We go to the games together. Our wives will get us like, you know, tickets to when UNC plays NC State. And I've noticed that NC State seems to get like the foul discrepancy. Like, it's just crazy, not just for UNC, but just for them in general. Cause I'll watch games now here for the NC State. Do you think refs kind of base, I'm not saying like they're doing anything like illegal, but like, do you think they kind of like, okay, maybe NC State's known for like toughness and all this other stuff, so they'll watch their players on each end a little bit more than other players? I mean, I know it's probably a ridiculous thing, but I was like doing some research. I'm like, this is crazy. And my buddy's like, yeah, welcome to, you know, the land of being an NC State fan or something like that. But what is your take on like the way maybe refs will look at certain teams just based on maybe their reputation over the years?
I don't think that actually does happen. I think that foul discrepancies and free throw discrepancies are usually based upon style of play.
Okay.
So, you know, Virginia doesn't send their opponents to the foul line much. They don't get called for many fouls based upon the style of play that they have. And their games are basically shortened because they use the clock so much. They're one of the slowest playing teams in the country. You know, traditionally, NC State's been a more up-tempo, high energy defensive team that takes some chances defensively. And, you know, they may press full court, they press up, they deny, they're out in passing lanes. That's going to produce more fouls at times. So that those kind of things do matter. And do, are you more of a jump shooting team, or do you attack the basket more? That puts a team in position to foul. Like North Carolina, that's part of their plan, is to get to the free throw line. That's the way they design their offense and recruit and design their team. One of the things about officiating that I found interesting is I used to think that, you know, every game for an official is an away game. And the truth is, every game for an official is a home game. Now they travel to it, but, you know, there may be something where I've always found it fascinating, you know, sort of that home teams tend to play better at home and seems like they get more calls at home, things like that. Now, can officials be influenced by a home crowd? You know, because every call they make against the home team, they get booed. And, you know, does that have any sort of long-term effect in the overall numbers? Maybe. But it's remarkable, you know, how the fouls tend to, you know, if you have a really low foul first half, oftentimes you'll have a much higher foul second half. And the foul discrepancy is not as crazy as people think it is.
Okay.
You know, like a lot of times there's but one or two, three fouls and a half can be a huge difference depending upon when a team gets in the one and one, or the bonus and all that stuff. That's a big factor too, is, you know, how quickly you get these calls and how long you have to play in the bonus.
Gotcha. I got to say, as someone who does interviews, I really love your 94 feet interview segments. I love that. I just think it's a great way to kind of switch things up. What kind of inspired that for you, man? Like, talk a little about how that came to be.
Yeah, we got challenged. It was probably 10 or 12 years ago, give or take, maybe a little bit longer. We got challenged before the season started by our leadership at ESPN to come up with something inventive and creative and things like that to provide access. They used to call it access and discovery, you know. So I worked with a producer named Scott Gustafson, who I still work with today, and we were talking about it and said, let's try to come up with something. And I had seen something on the NFL Network right before the combine. I saw it one time and one time only. I've never seen it since. It was called 40 yard dash. And somebody walked 40 yards with a prospect and asked similar questions, you know, kind of nothing about football or very little about football. And I mentioned it to Gus and said, maybe we could do something like that. And he's the one that came up, we'll walk the length of the court and we'll call it 94 feet. And the first one we did was with Jay Wright of Villanova. It was at Virginia, interestingly enough. And the first question, I didn't know what I was going to ask him. I told him that. And the first question I asked him was, what was your favorite TV show as a kid? Jay's an unbelievable guy. Couldn't be a nicer person.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, wow, that's a good question. What's my favorite TV show as a kid? Geez, what was my favorite TV show? I watched a lot of TV. And we got all the way to the other free throw line before he answered the question. I was going, you effed it all up. Like, how easy could that have been? I think for a long time, that was the only one we had to do twice.
Yeah.
We get it done in one take, and it's really, really fun and funny. And we've had some great moments, and it's been really enjoyable.
Love it. A couple more questions before I finish off with the Fatherhood Quick Five. And again, I appreciate you being gracious with your time. From everything that you've covered, from just your time at ESPN and just covering the sport, I bet there's a lot of them, but is there one surreal moment you like to share with me and my audience that you've experienced? You're like, well, maybe while it's going or after you experience, you're like, how the heck did I get here? Like, talk, do you have any of those?
There are a lot of those. I mean, it's funny, as I get older, I've really come to appreciate what this job is really about, at least for me. And I think early on, I thought it was about the games and the job, and it is. I mean, that's important. But what I've learned over the years is what has been most satisfying, fulfilling for me has been my colleagues, you know, sort of the team that I'm on. I really enjoy the people I work with. And those are the memories that I go to first, honestly. The games tend to bunch up a little bit. So when people say, what's the best game you've ever done? It really takes me a long time to come up with it because there's so many great games. But so many of the most fulfilling moments have come from the people I work with. You know, I spent a lot of years with Sean McDonough and Bill Raftery, and our interactions off the court, you know, the meals we had together, the fun travel, all the things that went wrong, the jokes, I mean, just the relationships that you have, that's the fun stuff. And that's the stuff I go to first when I think about how much I enjoy this job. It's less about the games and more about the people I get to work with, because the folks behind the camera, they're the real stars of this and don't get the credit for it, but they're selfless. But they're great people, and those relationships I think are the most important part of the job and the most fulfilling part of the job.
Awesome. Wouldn't expect another, like, less of an answer from you who's been doing this for a while and always on point. So I love that. One more question before the Father Quick Five. When I've had other, you know, players from Duke on, former, you know, players of Coach K, I think for me, one of the biggest things I saw him, just like how awesome of a coach and a motivator he is, was during the Redeem team. And, you know, when he brought Kobe in and when he was trying to teach the guys certain things, and he brought the people that, you know, in the armed force, like, this is who you're playing for. And I'm getting goosebumps right now, because I'm like, Coach K knows how to coach. I know I'm preaching the choir here, but what you want to share, just a fun story with Coach K?
Yeah, that's probably his greatest gift, isn't it? That I'm not sure. Look, he can X and O with anybody, but I'm not sure that if there was an X and O contest among coaches that he'd win it. That I don't think that's necessarily what has made him special. What makes him special is his ability to reach you on a gut level, and, you know, kind of capture your heart, if you will. I know that sounds corny, but he really does that. He's a great relationship guy, and he really has his finger on the pulse of the team as to what's needed at a given time. And we used to joke as players that when things were the most calm, that's when he got the most crazy. And when things were the craziest, that's when he was the most calm. You know, he always knew what the team needed at a given time. And I think your point about the Redeem team, he did it with us. He's done it with all his teams, of reaching you on a thing that's not about our ball screen defense here. It's about how close we are as a team. So I would say one of the things that was a great lesson for me was I was covering the U.S. Olympic team in Vegas one summer, and it happened to be the day that Paul George had that horrific injury in the exhibition game that night in Vegas. Yeah. And I was supposed to go with Coach K and Jerry Colangelo and General Martin Dempsey to a military event not out far outside of Vegas. And Coach K said, hey, you know, we got a team meeting and then we'll leave right after the meeting. So meet me right here after the meeting's over. And I got there early because I didn't want to be late. So I got there early and the meeting hadn't even started. Yeah. So he said, come on in and sit in. And he stood before the team. They went through the day and all their strategic stuff. And then at the end of the meeting, he said, look, when you get back, he told all the players, like Kevin Durant and all the best players in the world. He said, when you get back to your hotel room, there's going to be something waiting for you in there, and it's going to be your USA jersey. He said, I want you to do something. I want you to lay it out on the bed and just look at it and think about how effing cool this is that we get to do this. And he said that sometimes in our lives, you know, we get to do things that we've always dreamed of doing. And sometimes in your life, you can start to think that this is routine. And he said, it's not routine. And he said, don't take special for granted. Yeah. And then said it again, don't take special for granted. And I'm in the back of the room. These guys are all riveted to it. And I really started thinking, like, I'm doing what I've always wanted to do in broadcasting. Am I taking it for granted? Like when I go to Allen Fieldhouse or the Smith Center, Cameron Indoor Stadium, am I taking it in that this is where I've always wanted to be? And, you know, am I doing that? Yeah. And I think it refocused me on appreciating what I'm doing while I'm doing it. Yeah. And realizing how special it is. I get to work with these people. I get to do this. And it was really a centering moment that I've thought about almost every day since.
Love it. He's still coaching. I love it. Love it.
Hey, he's still my coach. 40 years later, he's still my coach.
Nice. Thanks very much for sharing that. Now I'm going to finish off with the Father Quick Five. Favorite family movie? Do you guys have one?
Yeah, we probably gravitated toward Elf around the holidays. For some reason, Elf seems to come on every holiday. We kind of laugh at it. But my family, their favorite thing to do is my family likes to read the mean tweets about me while I'm on the air. They read it to each other and they go, look what this guy said about Dad. This is fantastic. And then sometimes they'll send it to me and I'm on the air. I'm going, really? Like, I'm working, you know, do you really have to crush my ego? Like, leave me alone. That's their favorite thing.
I love it. Favorite family song or genre of music you couldn't wait to introduce your kids to?
Well, we were, I would have said sort of, I'm a big rock and hip hop guy. So I would, you know, I introduced my kids to the Rolling Stones and they're like, no, thanks. It's amazing how, you know, kind of as you get older, you stick with the music you grew up with.
Yep.
And then they put something on. I'm like, who's this? And they go, Dad, what do you live in a cave? That's Taylor Swift. Like, what's wrong with you? But that they're going to do the same thing. They just don't realize it yet.
That moment of clarity, like, oh my gosh, I'm having a dad moment. Nice.
Yeah.
Describe the perfect family vacation. Where would it be?
We go to California where I grew up. So we spend a month out there. The kids are older now. They're 29 and 27. So they'll come out for a week to visit. And that's really fun because they're adults now. So the thing that I've enjoyed most about them is when they left to go to college, they came back and they started telling us all their stories, and including the stories of things they got away with in high school that we really didn't know anything about. And so that's been really fun and revealing. But now, like when they're in high school, they kind of wanted to keep us out of things. They didn't want us to know about certain things. And I was the same way. It's not, that's universal.
Oh yeah.
But now they're telling us all this stuff and they're sharing like all the stories that are going on. And it's so entertaining. As they've gotten older, they've gotten more fun.
Nice.
And I've loved them the same way forever, but I like them a lot better now.
Nice. So you, like me, are a sneakerhead. Favorite kicks when you're playing and favorite kicks just for like casual lifestyle?
Casual lifestyle. From the time I was a little kid, I wore Puma suede Clydes.
Nice.
And I still wear those. To play in, I was a Nike guy. I love Nike shoes. But when I was in high school, I wore Adidas. Even though we are Converse, our team wore Converse, I wore Adidas. I liked Adidas the best at that time. That was before Nike. I played in the late 70s, early 80s in high school. So that was before Nike really took off. But I was a huge Adidas guy to play. And then Pony. I wore Pony a lot back then.
Nice.
And people don't, you might remember it. Most people don't remember those. They were awesome.
Nice. And lastly, top three words you hope your kids would use to describe you as a dad. What would you want them to be?
What would I want them to be? I'm never going to get what I want from my kids. My kids have an unbelievable sense of humor. And I'm target number one for being made fun of, which I love. But they would probably go with bald, lazy, and flatulent would be the three they would give me.
Jay, thank you so much. People, make sure you follow, if you're not doing so already, on Instagram and Twitter at Jay Billis, and check out wherever he's doing on ESPN and wherever he's, you know, wherever his travels take him. I know it's super busy for you this time of year, especially with March Madness coming up, but thank you again. And I wish you and your family continued success, sir.
Same to you. And thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Art of Fatherhood podcast. I really appreciate your support. And I also appreciate Alta for sponsoring this week's episode. Kat and Andrew are doing really great things over at their site at altaforlife.com. They have worked with hundreds of clients. They've grown exclusively by word of mouth, and they pride themselves on getting results for their clients in a way that doesn't disrupt any other priorities such as family, friends, travel, or career. So if you are looking to live a healthier lifestyle, if you're looking to achieve goals in fitness, weight loss, wellness, make sure you check out altaforlife.com and see how Andrew and Kat can help you achieve your goals. And while you're on the internet, please go to artoffatherhood.net, rate, subscribe, and review to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. I greatly appreciate it. I've had overwhelming support in the last few years. Love the reviews, love the ratings. Thank you so much for that. Make sure you also go to the website, check out the different articles, reviews, different stories on fatherhood and just pop culture. And also there are chances for giveaways and prizes. So check out my website over at artoffatherhood.net. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to artoffatherhood.net.